Welcome to the GCSE Geography Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in the next 10 minutes, we're going to tackle one of the most important topics on the OCR GCSE Geography Specification, the challenge of natural hazards. Whether your exam is tomorrow or next month, this episode is going to give you everything you need, the core concepts, the case studies, the exam tips, and a quick-fire quiz at the end. So let's get started. First, let's set the scene. Natural hazards are natural events that have the potential to cause loss of life or property. The key word there is potential. A volcanic eruption in an uninhabited area is a natural event, not a hazard. It only becomes a hazard when people are at risk. This distinction matters in the exam, so keep it in mind. The OCR specification focuses on two main categories: tectonic hazards, that's earthquakes and volcanoes, and atmospheric hazards, particularly tropical storms. Today, we're going deep on tectonic hazards because that's where the most complex exam questions appear. Right, core concepts. Let's start at the very beginning. Why do tectonic hazards happen at all? The Earth's crust is broken into large sections called tectonic plates. These plates are constantly moving, very slowly, just a few centimeters per year, driven by three main mechanisms. First, convection currents. Heat from the Earth's core causes molten rock in the mantle to rise, spread out, cool, and sink again, creating circular currents that drag the plates above them. Second, ridge push. At constructive boundaries where plates move apart, new magma rises and solidifies, forming mid-ocean ridges. The weight of this elevated ridge pushes the plates outward. Third, slab pull. At destructive boundaries, the denser oceanic plate sinks into the mantle. As it sinks, it pulls the rest of the plate behind it. This is actually the most powerful of the three forces. Now, a really common mistake candidates make is saying plates float on magma. Please don't say this in your exam. The mantle is solid rock that behaves like a very slow-moving fluid. The plates are driven by those three specific mechanisms I just described. Examiners will not award marks for floating on magma. Let's talk about the two types of crust, because this is crucial for explaining subduction. Oceanic crust is denser, thinner, about 6 to 10 kilometers thick, and made of basalt. Continental crust is less dense, thicker, up to 70 kilometers, and made of granite. When oceanic and continental crust collide at destructive boundary, the denser oceanic crust is forced downward into the mantle. This is called subduction. The point where this happens is called the subduction zone, and it creates a deep ocean trench at the surface. As the oceanic plate descends, it melts, and the resulting magma is less dense than the surrounding rock. So it rises through the continental crust, eventually erupting as a composite volcano. Composite volcanoes, also called stratovolcanoes, are steep-sided, explosive, and produce high-viscosity lava. High viscosity means the lava is thick and doesn't flow easily, so pressure builds up and eruptions are violent. Think Mount St. Helens in the USA or Mount Merapi in Indonesia. These are the dangerous ones. Shield volcanoes, by contrast, form at constructive boundaries or over hot spots. They have gently sloping sides, produce low viscosity lava that flows easily and covers large areas, and their eruptions are relatively gentle and effusive. Think Mauna Loa in Hawaii. The key difference to remember: composite equals steep, explosive, high viscosity. Shield equals gentle, effusive, low viscosity. Mixing these up is one of the most common mistakes in the exam. Now let's talk about earthquakes. At all plate boundaries, destructive, constructive, and conservative, stress builds up as plates move. When that stress is suddenly released, seismic waves radiate outward from the focus, which is the point underground where the earthquake originates. The epicenter is the point on the surface directly above the focus. Here's a really important point for your exam. The depth of the focus directly affects the intensity of surface shaking. Shallow focus earthquakes, less than 70 kilometers deep, cause the most damage because the seismic energy has less distance to travel and dissipate before it reaches the surface. Deep focus earthquakes lose more energy before reaching the surface and are therefore less destructive. How do we measure earthquakes? There are two scales you need to know, and you must not confuse them. The moment magnitude scale measures the total energy released by an earthquake. It's a logarithmic scale, meaning each whole number increase represents about 32 times more energy released. The Mercalli scale, on the other hand, measures the intensity of shaking and damage at a specific location. It's subjective, based on what people felt and what damage occurred, and it varies from place to place for the same earthquake. So the moment magnitude scale tells you how big the earthquake was. The Mercalli scale tells you how bad it felt in a particular place. Let's move on to case studies, because in the exam, you absolutely need specific facts and figures. Thousands died will not get you marks. Approximately 9,000 fatalities will. Case study 1, Nepal earthquake, April 2015. Magnitude 7.8 on the moment magnitude scale. Shallow focus at approximately 15 kilometers depth, which is why it was so destructive. Approximately 9,000 people were killed, 22,000 were injured, and around 600,000 homes were destroyed. Nepal is a low-income country, and this is crucial for explaining the scale of the disaster. Building standards were poor. Many structures were made of unreinforced brick and stone that collapsed easily. Emergency services were overwhelmed and under-resourced. The mountainous terrain made access for rescue teams extremely difficult. Recovery was slow, with many families still in temporary shelters a year later. The economic cost was estimated at around $7 billion, roughly a third of Nepal's entire GDP. Case study 2, Japan earthquake and tsunami, March 2011. Magnitude 9.0, one of the most powerful earthquakes ever recorded. It occurred at a destructive boundary where the Pacific plate subducts beneath the Eurasian plate. The earthquake triggered a massive tsunami with waves reaching up to 40 meters in some areas. Approximately 15,894 people were killed, the majority by the tsunami, not the earthquake itself. Japan is a high-income country with some of the most advanced earthquake preparedness in the world. Buildings were constructed to strict seismic codes. The early warning system gave residents up to 80 seconds of warning before shaking began. Emergency response was rapid and well-coordinated. Yet even Japan could not fully prevent the disaster. The Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant was severely damaged, causing a nuclear crisis that led to the evacuation of 154,000 people and long-term contamination concerns. Comparing these two case studies is exactly what examiners want you to do. The key is not to simply say, Japan is richer, so it did better. You need to be specific about which factors made the difference. Building codes, emergency response capacity, early warning systems, infrastructure quality, governance, and community preparedness. These are the factors that examiners will credit. Now let's talk about managing tectonic hazards. There are two broad approaches, hard engineering and soft approaches. Hard engineering involves physical structures and modifications. Examples include retrofitting buildings with base isolators, rubber and steel pads that absorb seismic energy, and constructing tsunami seawalls like the ones in Japan that were up to 10 meters tall in some coastal areas. These are expensive but can be very effective. Soft approaches focus on people and systems rather than physical structures. They include education and community drills. Japan runs regular earthquake drills in schools and workplaces. They include early warning systems, evacuation planning, land use zoning to keep people away from the most dangerous areas, and international aid and cooperation. When evaluating these strategies in the exam, you must weigh their effectiveness. Hard engineering is expensive and may not be affordable for LICs. Soft approaches are cheaper but rely on public compliance and good governance. The most effective management combines both, but this requires resources that many LICs simply don't have. That inequality of response is a key theme that examiners want you to engage with. Right, let's move to exam tips and common mistakes. This is where you can really pick up marks. Command word alert. When you see assess in an 8-mark question, you must do 3 things. Present evidence on multiple sides, weigh that evidence, and reach a justified conclusion. Your final paragraph should explicitly state which factor you think is most important and why. Don't just list, evaluate. When describing the distribution of tectonic hazards on a map, use specific compass directions and name the actual tectonic plates. Don't say they're mostly in the east. Say tectonic hazards are concentrated along the western coast of the Americas, where the Nazca Plate and Pacific Plate subduct beneath the South American and North American plates, respectively. Always categorize impacts. Social impacts, deaths, injuries, homelessness, psychological trauma, economic impacts, cost of damage, loss of income, impact on GDP, environmental impacts, landscape changes, soil contamination, habitat destruction. Structuring your answer this way demonstrates AO2 analytical skills and will push you into the higher mark bands. Case study statistics must be precise. Don't say many people died. Say approximately 9,000 people were killed in the Nepal 2015 earthquake. Don't say Japan has good buildings. Say Japan's strict seismic building codes require structures to withstand ground acceleration of up to 0.4 grams. And remember, prediction and preparation are different things. Prediction means forecasting when and where a hazard will occur. Preparation means actions taken in advance to reduce impact, stockpiling supplies, training emergency services, running evacuation drills. Confusing these two in the exam will cost you marks. Quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask 5 questions, pause after each one, and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What are the 3 mechanisms that drive plate movement? Pause now. The answer is convection currents, ridge push, and slab pull. Question 2. What is the difference between oceanic and continental crust? Pause now. Oceanic crust is denser, thinner, and made of basalt. Continental crust is less dense, thicker, and made of granite. Question 3. What is the difference between the moment magnitude scale and the Mercalli scale? Pause now. Moment magnitude measures total energy released. Mercalli measures subjective intensity of shaking and damage at a specific location. Question 4. Give 2 specific facts from the Nepal 2015 earthquake. Pause now. Possible answers: magnitude 7.8, approximately 9,000 fatalities, shallow focus at 15 kilometers, economic cost of around $7 billion. Question 5. Name 1 hard engineering and 1 soft approach to managing tectonic hazards. Pause now. Hard: base isolators or tsunami seawalls. Soft: earthquake drills, early warning systems, or evacuation planning. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread the relevant section. Active recall, like this, is one of the most powerful revision techniques, much more effective than just rereading your notes. Let's wrap up. The challenge of natural hazards is a topic that rewards students who can think analytically, use precise evidence, and make clear comparisons between likes and hicks. The 3 things that will push you into the top mark bands are: 1, using specific case study statistics; 2, explaining the mechanisms behind processes rather than just describing them; and 3, reaching a clear, justified conclusion in evaluation questions. The key facts to take away: plates are driven by convection currents, ridge push, and slab pull. Shallow focus earthquakes are more destructive than deep focus. Composite volcanoes are steep and explosive. Shield volcanoes are gentle and effusive. Nepal 2015 shows LIC vulnerability. Japan 2011 shows HIC resilience, but also the limits of preparation. And always categorize your impacts into social, economic, and environmental. You've got this. Good luck in your exam, and keep revising. See you next time.